Hey, folks, and welcome back to another episode of Get Ripped, the only podcast anywhere in the world where two buds take turns recommending and reviewing some of their favorite pop culture hits, hidden gems, and oddities. I'm, of course, your host and resident silly boy Thor, joined today, as always, by my friend and co-host. You gotta treat him like a prostitute. It's Micah.
Of course. Of course that's the one. What a song that one was. You know, Slick Rick is an interesting character. I really appreciate the eye patch. I think that's my favorite thing about him. Yeah. Has that always been the case? Has he always had?
He was blinded as an infant.
Oh, okay.
By a piece of broken glass, apparently.
Oh, my goodness. Jeez.
Yes, the eye patch is legit.
Nice. All right. Yeah. So he's not spelunking or cave diving or anything like that to see in the darkness. No. He's just rapping about
some big old booties, I would assume.
Yeah, rapping
dude
about.
Dude has got swagger for
to
days.
To say the least, he's got something, man.
Oh.
He's got something.
Dude, before we start talking about Slick Rick, Micah, I don't know if you've realized, but we're living in a fucking comic book.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Okay, so, like, the Joker, basically, a guy who's basically cosplaying as the Joker, killed a CEO and like engraved shit into the mess. And there was
the
this manhunt. People were like, is some professional? And it's like, it's literally like something out of Gotham City.
It is.
The whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I don't know if you're aware of this, but the last few days, there have been like hundreds of sightings of UFOs in the New Jersey area.
I have heard, yeah, and I've heard that even the governor has no idea what
it is. The governor has commented on it as like the FBI, the Secret Service, the local law enforcement, all of us, and nobody knows what it is. Mm-hmm. And it's like going over like military facilities and other areas, and like
how's it?
And they think it's some kind of drones or something. But as soon as they start like tracking it or get eyes on it, they go dark, is what they said.
That's
and
so
they have,
wild.
They have no idea what it is.
So how does that not get shot down if it goes over a military base?
Because like as soon as like they find it, it goes like they lose
it, vanishes
it. Like, yeah, or something like that. Yeah,
so do you think it's a super villain?
I don't know. I hope it's aliens. I don't know what it maybe it's so one there was a senator, I'm not sure what, I think a congressman anyway,
yeah,
and he's like I'm a one of the members of the board of transportation or something, and he's like, These I have good intel that these drones are coming from a mothership from Iran.
A mothership?
Yeah, basically saying that there was like some Iran drone mothership off the coast of New Jersey, and that's where they're coming from. It's since been debunked. But he was like, I have very good
intel.
It's like, because that's just like most congressmen, they're like, what, something weird is going on? We should probably go to war with Iran.
what's happening? War with Iran? Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah, they're just right.
Create unrest in the Middle East? Yeah, I think that's a good idea. That'll solve our problems.
Swear to God, dude. But yeah, it's like, what the fuck is... We're literally living in a comic book right now.
So
it's crazy.
That 100% sounds like a comic book story. I wouldn't be surprised if there is a comic book about some alien mothership crash landing somewhere in the Middle East.
Yeah, New Jersey. Oh, you mean...
Yeah. Middle East,
otherwise
known.
Oh, no, this guy wasn't saying a mothership like aliens. He's saying, like, no, Iran just has a hub somewhere that somewhere off in the Atlantic, off the coast, and they're sending all these drones.
I'm going to choose to believe it's an alien mothership sending out scouts because it crash landed and it doesn't know which planet it's on.
It came from Iran.
Yeah. And it keeps finding the trash of Jersey for some reason.
It's just like, what are these? It sees aliens discover Italians and they're like, what the fuck are these things?
They probably just thought we're doomed. We're doomed. Yeah. Yeah, it sounds very comic book to me. I agree, Thor. And we've got a rapper with an eye patch. Probably going to be rapping about it. This guy, are we ready to just talk about Slick Rick?
Yeah, for sure, yes. Yeah. Hey, folks, make sure to stay up to date on all the latest episodes by following us at Get Ripped Podcast on Instagram and Facebook. Or if you have any recommendations you'd like to hear us review on the show, you can contact us directly via email. Or, I don't know, maybe you just want to send us some feet pics. You creep, I don't know what you're into. I don't care. We'll review those too. What do you think of that, huh? In any case, all your requests, feedback, and general criticism of the straight white patriarchy can be sent to getwreckedpod@gmail.com. That's GITRECDPOD @gmail.com. Now, back to the show. Alrighty, folks. So today we are discussing Slick Rick, and more specifically, his album, The Great Adventures of Slick Rick, his debut album released in 1989. It is like a wildly important hip hop album. And it's definitely old school hip hop. I think it'd be fair, like, it's very dated. It'd be fair to listen to this compared to like modern hip hop and be like, this is kind of corny. It's a little bit cheesy, but like, I still think it holds up and I think it's so much fun. Like, that is when I gave this to you, it was off air. I had initially recommended this to you and I was like, Dude, you got to go into this and know that it's meant, like, all of this is meant to be fun. It's like a different, it's not gangster rap. It's not, and it does touch on some like serious topics and stuff, but everything is done in this kind of like goofy, lighthearted manner.
Yeah, that's for sure.
So, Micah, first thoughts, initial impressions.
Man. Well, let me just tell you, the album artwork is fantastic. I don't know what he's doing. Have you looked at the album artwork?
Oh, it's like him in front of a cityscape and he's just like,
yeah,
kneeled down, like touching the ground for some reason. Yeah.
Yeah. But also,
I guess it's supposed to look like he's about to start breakdancing.
Is that
that's my assumption. I don't know.
It looks like a Shutterstock image. Like when you Google images of like business people in a business and everybody's posing, like looking at some graph paper on a notebook. All right. And they're all smiling and stuff. That's the pose aura that he's giving in this.
Yeah.
They're probably like
they just photoshopped him out of an image and put a different background.
Yeah, they're
on
like
it,
yeah. Slick Rick, do a cool move. And he's like, do I pose like this? And they're like, perfect.
Click,
took the
it.
Picture. Yeah. Also, I can't help.
Well, and honestly, that picture very well may have just been taken by somebody at like a JCPenney's or something.
At a JCPenney's.
I mean, like this was a time when hip hop was still very much underground in a lot of ways. It was still just breaking.
Yeah.
This is his first album. It's mostly self-produced and self-edited. Like, he did a lot of it himself.
Yeah.
It's very DIY. I believe it is on an actual label. Let's see here. Let's see, what label is it on? Yeah, it was on Def Jam. So it was one of the early Def Jam out. But I mean, this was still very much in the early days of Def Jam.
Where the hell was this guy in Def Jam Fight for New York? Do you remember that PlayStation 2 game? The rap fighting game?
No, I don't.
Oh my gosh. Honestly, one of the best fighting games of the PlayStation 2 era.
Really?
100%. Okay. I'm not even joking.
I've never heard of this.
Oh my gosh. Def Jam 2 Fight for New York? That game was freaking awesome. It was kind of like an arena fighter, so it was a 3D fighter, and you were essentially in...
Okay, it's called Def Jam Fight for... Oh, there it is.
Yeah, Def Jam Fight for New York. Yep. It had so many rappers, like actual rappers, in this that were characters that you could beat. Like Sean Paul was in it, Ice-T was in it, pretty sure that Ice Cube was in it. There were so many. Lil Kim was in it, and Carmen Electra was in it.
Oh my God, I love Lil Kim.
Yeah, so there were so many characters that you can play as. It's legitimately an awesome fighting game.
Okay, so Slick Rick is one of the rappers.
What?
The game features several rappers, including Lil Kim, Snoop Dogg, Method Man, Slick Rick, Memphis Bleek, Lil Flip, Scarface, Ghostface, Ghostface Killah, Redman, Fat Joe, Mobb Deep, Ice-T, Xzibit, Nori, Ludacris, Crazy Legs, Busta Rhymes, Bubba Sparks, and Sean Paul.
He is in it! Oh my gosh, I remember this man!
As well as other people like Henry Rollins, Chris Judge, Carmen Electra, Baby Chris, Jacob Rabo, and Kimora Lee Simmons. Jesus. Let me see the video game version of Slick Rick.
There's the video game version of Slick Rick right there.
Dude, yes.
Dude, and you got to realize, I have no idea who that was. I have no idea who 99% of these rappers are. Yeah. Like, that's not me. I just love fighting games. So yeah. I was playing this. Oh my gosh, that's so wild. Okay. After this recording, then I'm gonna show you videos of this because it's such a good fighting game. And so you make a character, like, so you are it's a create a character situation, and then you can choose a fighting style. So there's like karate, there's wrestling, there's brawling, and then there's, I don't know, something else. And you choose one, and then about a third of the way through the game, you can unlock a new fighting style. And so when you unlock a new fighting style, depending on which one you choose, if you decide you want to do it, it combines the two fighting styles that you've chosen to create a new move set.
Oh, that's cool.
It's very, very cool. I just remember Sean Paul doing like capoeira kicks and stuff.
Makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. 100%. Oh man. Such a good game. All right. Well,
dude, a rapper play. I can't believe I've never heard of this ever.
We got to play it.
We got to find a way. Yeah.
Yeah. We got to find a way. Dude, I played this game so much as a kid. All right. Well, just based on that fact alone, whatever my rating was going to be of this, it's gone up a star or an eyeball or whatever we use, whatever we use as our rating system for this, it's going up one. I am a little bit bummed that he does not have an eye patch on the jacket cover, though. Gotta be honest.
Are you sure?
I don't think he does. Does he? Let's zoom in here. Yeah, like, he's just wearing, where's the eye patch? Is he still blind?
Maybe he was self-conscious.
Maybe.
About the, which I don't know why, because if you watch, there's two music videos for this album, and if you watch them, like,
he's got an eye patch in both of them?
He's got the eye patch on, yeah. It was kind of like his signature, like, style.
Yeah, that's very strange. All right, well, we got sidetracked a little bit there. I apologize. I was at first upset that he wasn't in Fight for New York, and then you just blew my mind, Thor, by finding that info. That's so amazing.
Yeah, no, I mean, he was on Def Jam.
Yeah.
And also, I mean, so the thing about, like, some kind of, like, historical context in the world of hip-hop as to, like, why he's so... and once again, I'm not a hip-hop expert. We've been over this before. Like, I am a fan of, like, certain artists, and
sure,
I do love hip-hop music, but, like...
You seem like
specifically
a
like
admirer.
Old school. Yeah, exactly. But so yeah. I'm not super knowledgeable, but it is to my understanding that he's pretty influential. And a lot of it has to do with like kind of like his cadence, his just kind of like his almost like lazy way of enunciating and stuff like that. And just kind of his really unique style and the fact that he was so fun and basically, all the songs on this album are like stories. He was kind of like the first rapper to introduce like that narrative storytelling into hip hop.
Okay,
that was kind of like and he wasn't the only one, but he was certainly the most notable for it. The song on here, "Children's Story," which I think is the third or fourth song.
I think it's the third song. Yeah,
that's his biggest hit off this song.
Oh,
and,
really?
And in many, like, I was looking into that one a little bit. On a number of, like, greatest hip-hop songs of all time, it almost always appears on there.
Huh. So you're telling me that Treat Her Like a Prostitute wasn't flooding the radio waves of 1988?
Treat Her Like a Prostitute is fun. I think it's a really good song.
Yeah.
But no, Children's Story, and, like, if I'm making a playlist with Slick Rick on it, Children's Story is the one that's going on there. Yeah. I think it still holds up. I think it's an incredible fucking song.
Yeah. So I would say first impressions for me. I actually really liked the scratching in this.
Yeah.
Like the DJ scratching was a lot of fun in this. And that song, Treat Her Like a Prostitute, opens up with that pretty heavy. And that was pretty impressive. I liked listening to that. I do like his cadence. I kind of like the way that he raps. And it feels very old school rap to me. And a lot of
When I
get into rap, that genre that I like, usually it's like the Run DMC era. And this kind of gave me some of those vibes.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, this is definitely same era.
Yeah. So with that, I enjoyed it. the content of what he raps about, it's
very juvenile. He was a young man, I think. Yeah. Probably. Let me see when he was actually born.
Yeah. I think he was born in the 60s.
Fucking Wikipedia, you stink, Wikipedia.
We're not giving you $2.75,
Stop
Wikipedia.
Stop asking me for money.
65,
yeah. So yep. He would have been like 24. Yeah, 23, 24 at the time of recording this. It is a very juvenile album. It really is. Like the Treat Her Like a Prostitute, very silly and meant to be. And then what's the other one? There's one Indian Girl.
Oh, yeah. Indian
An Adult Girl. Story is very much... Dude, that song is insane. Like, in the context of today, like, people say that often, like, you couldn't make this today.
Right.
And it's like, that song is wild. It has some absolutely hilarious lines, though.
Yeah. There is a lot of hilarious lines in there. But, like, for me, I listen to it and I'm like, okay. All right. I guess that's the route you decided to go with this song.
He didn't take the warning. He rode her to the morning. He rode that ass till the pussy started yawning.
Yeah.
Said, wait, what? And his dick went weak. Said, Dave, pussies ain't supposed to speak. It's so fucking, it's like, and it sounds so cool. And it's absolutely absurd. He's basically 100%. Talking about, like, this girl is, there's also a line in right before that where she's like, no, I don't think I want to have sex. And he's like, from what he believe and from what he guessed, when a girl says no, he really thinks she means yes. And he's basically like forcing himself on this Indian girl. And then she's like, okay. And then she's kind of into it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a wildly, I let Kendra listen to it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, and she was like, why do you like this? I'm like, cause it's funny. She's like, what is funny? And she was like, why do you think this is funny? And I'm like, I'm sorry. I guess that's just the 12-year-old boy in me.
Well, yeah. So there's that. And there is, I think that there's a sense of humor that can be found from a shock value as well.
Yeah, for sure.
Where you're just like, oh my gosh, I can't. Like,
yeah, he actually said that shit. That's
exactly.
Crazy.
I mean,
yeah.
Look at Borat or any comedy that's like on the edge. I don't know if he's trying to be that with this, or if it's just a changing of the time situation of like what's considered acceptable and what's not.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and I think even in 1989, most people would have listened to that and been like, that's pretty bonkers. Like, it's still pretty, sure. Probably yeah. From a little bit of a different perspective. You right. Know what I mean? More, probably from more of like a puritanical, like you shouldn't say naughty words and you shouldn't talk about sex type of perspective.
Right.
But still, I don't, you know, like, it's literally called Indian Girl, in parentheses, An Adult Story. Like, it's intentionally, he's like, like, this so, one is, so this like, is a... This is one for the grown-ups.
Yep.
Which I kind of like. Slick Rick cares about the kids. He lets you know right away, this one is not for you kids. This is a story for adults. What do you think about the two, like, slow jams?
They're okay. I think that they're the weaker parts of the album.
Yes, yeah, I agree. But I do like that in the song Hey Young World, like, the whole song is about, because I think a lot of times people think of hip-hop as, like, they're gangsters, they're thugs, sure. And they disrespect women, and they, and I mean, I think there's a lot of fair criticism there for a lot of it, if that's something that, like, you find offensive or don't want to listen to or whatever.
Sure.
And, but that, like, literally that whole song is like, hey, go to church, respect your mom, don't be a bum and cash your welfare checks, go out and make your own money, don't rob people, like, go out and work. And be a man, and be, you know what I mean? Don't borrow from people. Fucking make your own money. Do shit. Like, it's basically a Hulk Hogan, eat your vegetables, brother. You know, yeah. It's like, do your homework and eat your vegetables. Be a good guy. And so I really like that song, even though, like.
And also, children, treat her like a prostitute.
Yeah.
You go,
well.
Be a man and treat her like a prostitute.
But you can have fun. You can be silly.
Yeah. Yeah. I think on that song, cut off from the rest of the album, I wholeheartedly agree with you 100%. Yeah. I do think it's a little funny that that comes after a whole slew of songs of debauchery.
Yeah. Well, and I think, so Children's Story, that's another one. It's teaching a good lesson.
Yeah.
Like, it's because it's this whole fun concept of, like, it's telling the story of this guy going on a, basically a crime spree and ending up locked up. And he's, like, it's told from the perspective of his nephews are like, hey, Uncle Ricky, tell us a bedtime story. And he's like, okay.
He does these voices.
He does all the voices.
Yeah.
And he like refers to himself as different things. Like he's Slick Rick. He's MC Ricky D. He's Rick the Ruler. He's the Grand Wizard, which is kind of hilarious.
That is kind of funny.
Like, I don't know if he necessarily, like,
he
I think
that?
It felt like he heard the term Grand Wizard and was like, oh, that sounds dope as shit. Like, not realizing that Grand Wizard is what they call the leader of the Ku Klux Klan.
Yeah. Grand Wizard, that's cool.
Yeah. So yeah, he does like all the voices on this.
Yeah,
he does girl voices and kid voice. It's all very silly and fun.
Indian voices.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. They. It is very silly. It's very silly. It's something that I can listen to and be like, this is kind of fun. And then I'll never listen to it again.
Yeah. See, here's the thing, though. I think there's also a lot of, like, really technically impressive and cool things, too, that kind of... It takes a few listens, I think, honestly, too, to catch some of them.
Okay.
So, for example, like, the song, This Is the Moment I Feared.
Yeah.
That one, I think that is genuinely a masterclass in how simply... The way you enunciate and your cadence can almost be musical.
Okay.
Because he has these like really slow, like drawing lines. He's like, now I'm happy as can be. I'm in my pop hood spell. I put some vaseline in my eye so that no one can tell. But he's kind of like almost like slurring the words. And he's that's the song. He's like rapping really fast throughout all of it. And gotcha. It's like he's literally using just his cadence.
That's the one where he's... like continuously getting caught having sex, isn't it?
Well, that's part of it. So that one's kind of playing. So that story starts with him. He's basically getting stoned before work with his buddy, goes to work. After work, he like goes to the club and a bunch of kids roll up on him because he's wearing fake chains and they basically beat him up and take his chains.
Oh, okay.
And then make fun of him for having fake chains.
Gotcha.
So he basically, the song is like, once again, it's kind of like turning hip hop on its head where it's like people always think of it as like this like macho, like egotistical thing of like, oh, I'm number one, I'm the best. And it's almost like he's telling a story about how he got beat up and got his ass kicked by these guys who took his chains. And then after that story, then this girl comes here. He meets this girl and then she comes over. He has sex with her. And then her boyfriend ends up coming up and he ends up killing the guy. And then her and him run off. They steal his cocaine and run off. They're like, we're rich. We're rich. We're rich. We're rich. We're rich. We'll have whatever will please us.
Yeah. Okay.
And so but then she starts acting all crazy. So then he kills her and takes the cocaine and the money. And he's like, oh, I'm rich. I'm rich. I can have whatever will please me. And now he's like a big shot and people are running around saying, yo, Rick, what's up? And like now he's like the guy that everybody likes. Mm-hmm. And then the cops end up finding evidence and he gets locked up. And now he's in jail and he's scared because he's about to get beat up and raped, basically. So once again, it's a good like if you listen to the story, it is literally like it's not like glorifying those things. It's almost kind of like poking fun at them.
Sure. Like poking fun at the glorification of it.
Yeah, yeah.
So to speak. Yeah.
Yeah, and kind of like playing out what's this really look like. Going on a crime spree doesn't really work out good.
Sure.
Like being a big time coke dealer and killing and shooting guys doesn't actually really work out well, you know?
Go figure.
A lot of the songs are... like tongue-in-cheek humor and stuff, and I feel like they're much more well thought out than on the surface. As you start listening to them, like you're like, oh, this is actually like a funny take on whatever concept he's talking about.
All right, I can accept that. I listened to this two times through.
Okay,
and it it did all kind of start to blur together to me a little bit.
I could see that, yeah.
Definitely, I feel like it started out pretty strong.
I think the first half of the album is the strong half.
Yeah.
It does definitely lose steam in the second half.
Yeah. Looking at the Wikipedia, who's trying to get our money today, it's saying that in 1989, is the guy's name... Oh, okay, so his actual name is Richard Martin Lloyd Walters.
Yep.
Okay. So it looks like in 1989, his mom hired his first cousin as his bodyguard.
Uh-huh.
And Plummer, his cousin? So his cousin became a liability having tried to extort money from him?
Yep.
Jeez.
And then so he was worried about this cousin who tried to extort money from him, so he gets himself a gun. And I believe he ends up shooting his cousin and ends up going to jail for a few years.
Jeez.
His second and third album were recorded while in prison.
How do you do that?
Or his second album. His second album, at least. Hold on. Let me see. Let's see. Career. Yeah. World. Okay, yeah. So, yeah, I was reading through this. Okay, so first he found bullet holes in his front door, and then he bought guns for protection.
Okay.
And then he spotted the guy in his neighborhood, his like cousin or this guy who's his bodyguard trying to extort him. So he just started firing guns. He like basically like just started shooting wildly. Like,
oh, okay.
And one bullet hit the guy and another caught a passerby in the foot. Mm. Neither suffered life threatening injuries. So he pled guilty to 2 counts of attempted murder.
That's kind of wild.
Yeah. Even though he still, you know, he claimed it was an act of self-defense. So he spent 5 years in prison. Let's see here. So he got bailed out by Russell Simmons, and then recorded his second album, The Rulers, back in 91. Never really got mixed like the reviews as the first one. He never really caught fire like he did with the first one.
With the first one.
Okay, so that one he basically got arrested, got bailed out, recorded his second album. And then his third album, called Behind Bars, released in 94 while he was still incarcerated. And let's see, I believe, it doesn't say, but I believe he like, basically got granted like special like clemency to record the album for like a period of time, probably.
Okay. Yeah. And so this is also saying that he largely introduced the art of narrative into hip hop. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, Eminem wouldn't exist without
Slick Rick. Wow. All right, then.
I mean, a lot of hip-hop moving forward after that became very much... There are some hip-hop artists that's really, like, their specialty. I'd say Eminem is certainly one of them.
Yeah, I would agree.
Yeah, and so he was kind of the forefather of that. This album was, like, world-changing. Nas, Busta Rhymes, people like that, you know, some of the, like, the old-school... like godfathers of hip hop, like this as, you know, one of their favorite albums and one of their most important albums for them.
That's wild.
He's also, and so before all that, so he was born, actually, he's born in England to 2 Jamaican parents.
Okay.
Got blinded in his right eye when he was a baby.
Mm-hmm.
And then they moved to the Bronx when he was like 11 or 12. So that's also why he kind of has this, not only this weird cadence, but like, this kind of like weird accent that's hard to place, because his parents are Jamaican immigrants. He spent the first 11 years of his life in England, and then he ended up in the Bronx, New York. So he has like this really strange, unique accent.
Yeah.
And I think that a lot of that contributes, like all those things contribute probably to the way he writes, the way he kind of sees the world, and like his overall, the way he speaks and like enunciates, and sometimes he says things that like don't make sense, but they do, but like they make sense, like you understand what he's saying even though like grammatically it doesn't necessarily make sense.
This might be the height of his career. It says here that he performed at the halftime of the WNBA playoffs in 2024.
I missed it.
Yeah, I had no idea. I had no idea. Man. Yeah, man, this was fun. I did enjoy it. Kind of.
Are there any songs that stand out to you?
That really stand out to me? Honestly, the first song, Treat Her Like That.
Dude, it's a funny song.
That one really
song.
Jumps out. And
came home to party from work, had a hard day. Look around your house, you say, where the hell are they? Like the mailman's just... also funny, like, you come home and the mailman's like in your house and you're like, what's the mailman doing here?
Sure. Are the music videos of this, are they like skits?
No, they're, because the two that there are music videos for, the mm-hmm. one is Hey Young World and the other one is Teenage Love, which are both the slow jams.
Were the singles? Those were the
music
videos.
I think Children's Story might have a video as well.
Okay.
But Hey Young World and Teenage Love both.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Both have videos. And I think that's probably part of the era, whereas like the actual like hardcore hip hop songs,
mm-hmm.
There was probably a million people saying, okay, you can't monetize, you can't market this. You have to,
probably
like, the
not,
only chance
yeah.
you have to, like, market and maybe get a song on MTV or I don't even think BET existed at that point. But, like, to get it seen, you probably have to do these, like, more mellow songs. And, I mean, that may have been the impetus for even doing those kinds of songs.
Yeah, I feel like these songs would go really well with some silly music videos. Like, I'm thinking...
For sure, yeah.
I'm thinking Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, how there's goofy stuff happening in the intro. I feel like that would be...
Dude, yeah, the theme song for the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, 100% inspired by this album.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah. I think that is very evident, listening to this. I enjoyed the Mona Lisa song.
Dude, what I was talking about, that was another one I was thinking, where, like, it has these, like, small touches that are, I think, really incredible. Mona Lisa, there's this part, that one's just, like, about a chance meeting between a guy and some girl at, like, a pizza shop, and they're just kind of, like, chatting,
mm-hmm.
you know? And then he ends up having his boys, like, yo, we gotta go, and then he ends up leaving her hanging, right? Like, that's the whole thing.
Yeah.
But there's this point where she's, like, telling him about herself, and so he's doing the voice of her. But then, like, so between each line, he's just going, uh-huh. And it's, like, it's literally makes you feel like there's a conversation happening. It's this thing of, like, she's talking, and he's just trying to get in this girl's pants, and he's like, uh-huh, yeah, tell me more. Yep, uh-huh. Uh-huh, yep, yeah.
Sure.
Cool. And while she's just, like, talking about herself and just talking and talking, he's like, yeah, yeah, I'm very interested. Yep, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
mm-hmm.
And it's, and like, it's so, here, we'll pause the recording for a moment. I'll let you hear exactly what I'm talking about. Yeah, so we just, like, but yeah, it's literally just that, like, that small touch of just, like, he's doing her part and just the cadence of, like, it's on the beat of just, like, like, it, where it's like adding an aspect of using his voice as an instrument, as well as telling the narrative,
mm-hmm.
as well as, like, putting you in the scene of, like, two people having a conversation. And it's like just this small little touch, but it's like the shit like that. Like, the more I listen to this album, the more I just find little nuggets of things where it's like, this whole album is so handcrafted. Like I said, this was like his magnum opus. You know what I mean? Of a young 24-year-old in the Bronx, New York, who is all about getting pussy and having a good time.
His magnum opus.
like I'm not saying it's particularly lofty in its view or intentions.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, it just feels so uniquely him. Unlike any other person, nobody could make this except for him.
I could see that, especially if he's the one who's kind of the grandfather of narration in rap.
Yeah.
So that's kind of cool. I did find a music video for Children's Story.
Okay.
It looks kind of wild.
Yep. Yeah. They all kind of have the same vibe.
Yeah. So he's like in the middle of a park and there's a bed with this guy in a nightcap and two ladies that are sitting next to him.
I guess the ladies, oh, and now it looks like they're jerking him off under the covers.
100%. That's what it looks like.
And I guess they're the nephews asking to have a story read to them.
Yep. And so Slick Rick starts reading a bedtime story.
It was the 80s. Also, I love his Kangle. He's always wearing a sick Kangle hat. Literally.
Oh,
so
sure.
He got his start in, like, when he was a teenager in high school. Him and his buddy started, like, rapping and making songs, and they were the Kangle Crew.
That was their name, was the Kangle Crew?
The Kangle Crew.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, the two of them. And then, honestly, where he really got his start, so he did a talent kind of, like, showcase, and there was a rapper, like a more established rapper at that point, named Dougie Fresh. So he invited Rick to join the Get Fresh crew.
Okay.
And they released this song called Lottie Dottie on there, where Dougie Fresh was the first person. He was known as like the human beatbox. He was like the one of the like kind of like forefathers of beatboxing, right?
Okay.
And so the whole song is just him beatboxing and then Rick doing his thing, just telling this like long narrative thing. Lottie Dottie is, you may have heard it. Lottie Dottie, who likes to potty? We likes to potty hottie. We don't bother nobody.
Maybe.
Something like that.
Yeah.
It is the fifth most sampled song of all time.
But that's probably where I've heard it then.
And it is like of any genre and the most sampled song in hip hop of all time. Like everybody's used it from like Miley Cyrus to Biggie Smalls. Like it's just a song that's constantly referenced and like the,
so,
and used time
yeah,
and time
the,
again.
The Miley Cyrus song is the La Da Dee Da Dee, We Like to Party. Is it that song?
Probably. I didn't know that was a Miley Cyrus song.
Oh, yeah. It's
so
like,
I just
La
looked
da-dee,
up
da-dee,
a list of.
We Like to Party. And that's the only thing that I, that's the only part of the song that I know.
Yeah, that would be taken from Slick Rick. And she might not even know who Slick Rick is because it's been used so many
so
times. Hold on, let me see if I can find everybody who's like the some of the most famous ones who have. Literally, Lottie Dottie has its own Wikipedia page. That's how
wow,
like important it is. Yeah. So it's being sampled. It's been sampled and also referenced. This is just the list from Wikipedia. It's been appeared in songs like Rob Bass and DJ Easy Rocks, It Takes Two, Ludacris and Mary J. Blige's Runaway Love, Beastie Boys, Hold It Now, Hold It Now, Hit It, NWA's Gangsta Gangsta, Naughty by Nature's OPP, Kamoze's Here Comes the Hot Stepper. I don't know what a lot of those are. Miley Cyrus's We Can't Stop, Beyonce's Party.
That is the Miley Cyrus song.
I mean, I've seen, yeah, like, everyone from, once again, Miley Cyrus, Sublime,
yeah,
Biggie Smalls, Mary J. Blige, just hip hop artists. I mean, it's like,
that's pretty wild.
He's literally, it's one of those names, like, if you said it to most people, hey, Slick Rick, they have no idea who the hell you're talking about. I know you didn't.
I had no idea. None. I was surprised that Patrick knew when I said
it. Yeah, dude, I listened to that episode as I was editing it, and as soon as you're like, Slick Rick, and he goes, oh yeah, treat her like a prostitute. I'm like, dude, is Patrick my new best friend? I was like, why am I not doing this show with him? It's like, I was so bummed. I was like, God damn it, I wish I was in the room.
Yeah. Probably the look of defeatism that was on my face when he said that. I was just like, great.
Oh, I heard it in your voice. Because he's like, treat her like a prostitute. Is that the one? And you're like, yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, it. So listening to this, it was not as awful as I was expecting it to be.
No.
Coming into this,
I was genuinely hoping you would really enjoy it.
I thought
like maybe it would take you by surprise.
It's not awful. It's definitely not the worst music you've given me, and there are parts about it that are fun. But I think what really, if I had to like succinctly put a pin in it, I think that too much of it started to sound the same to me.
That's fair.
That might just be my ignorance on the genre. Like yeah. I don't listen to rap at all. And so I probably have a tough time finding nuances within the music.
Sure.
Just because I don't have a deep appreciation for it. Not that I have anything against it. It's just not normally my genre.
Well, and I do think some of the... It also doesn't help. Some of the songs are like 5.5 minutes long.
I do think some of them are a little long.
And just the nature of the music at that time. And it's not... A lot of the actual like instrumentation going on in the back is not super sophisticated. A lot of it's just like a drum machine and a synthesizer and a DJ scratching.
Yeah.
A lot of it is. So it's like... If you got a 5.5 minute long song, the majority of the actual backing track is just a drum beat doing the same thing over and over again. So I think that does, I think it's just kind of a stamp of the time and not necessarily anything else. Yeah. So it makes sense though. It definitely can like get a bit monotone, I think.
Yeah. Well, I think it's time we rate this sucker, this Slick Rick.
All right, let's do it on a scale of 1 to 77 eye patches.
Okay.
77 is just a random number, but
yeah.
You know, no specific significance. You know what? He was born in 1965. Let's give it at least some kind of modicum of...
So 65 eye patches?
Yeah, on a scale of 1 to 65 eye patches.
I'm going to say, so I would normally say 42, but because Slick Rick was in Def Jam Fight for New York.
Thank you, Def Jam Fight for New York.
I'm going to make it an even 50.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Dude, that's pretty good. Yeah. For what I was like, Micah might absolutely hate this. I thought that was a very real possibility. Like, and here's the thing. If you have a modern woman in your life, don't let her, she doesn't need to listen to this. She will hate it.
Sure.
Women do not like this. At least if my wife is, and she's pretty open, like over the years, I've gotten her to be pretty open towards music and vice versa, too. There's a lot of pop music I would probably hate if it wasn't for just kind of, you know, just
I'm there with you, man.
Being forced to listen to it with her and like gain an appreciation for it.
Yep.
So she's usually pretty open when I'm like, hey, listen to this song. I know it might not be your thing, but I think it's kind of cool.
Yeah. I do that with Ashley.
I've let her listen to maybe 4 or 5 songs off this album.
Okay.
And not one of them was a winner. Not even Children's Story. I think Children's Story is the most accessible song on this album.
Yeah.
And I think it's the reason it's probably the biggest hit off of it. I mean, it tells this really great story. It's really fun. And even that one, she was like, I don't like this at all.
Yeah.
So this one, not for the ladies.
But your wife, my wife are even younger than we are.
That's true. So this album was made before she was born.
Way before she
was
born.
It was made the year I was born. So that's not even like...
Yeah. Like, so there's definitely a timely disconnect, I think. And also...
Also, she might hate black people. I'm not sure.
Who knows?
I'm kidding. She doesn't.
No, but I mean, there's even between our age and our wife's age... My wife didn't know who Sting was. Not talking about the wrestler, but like the police. Sting.
She doesn't know who the wrestler is either.
No, she doesn't know who the wrestler is. She's like, the wrestler? And I'm like, no, you silly. The musician.
Dude, watching, what's the show with Martin Short and Steve Martin and Selena Gomez?
Murders in the Building?
Yeah, I had to explain to her who Sting was watching that show. Because he plays like a pivotal role in it.
Yeah, in one of the seasons he does. Yeah, I had to. I mean, I was just listening to Sting one day.
It's like, he's kind of a douche and he cries a lot about animals or some shit.
Lives in a castle. Really good lyricist. Really good writer. Pretty decent singer. But
seems like just unbearable to be around. Not a guy you want to go to have a drink with, because he's just going to talk to you about fucking plastic straws or some shit. Like, why you shouldn't use plastic straws. And you're like, okay, Sting, I get it. Fucking sing Roxanne and shut up.
Have you heard his daughter's music? His daughter goes by Elliot Sumner, and she was in a band.
That name sounds familiar.
Yeah, she was in a band called I Blame Coco, It was kind of like a band, quote unquote, but it was her. And then after that, she just started doing things that I think she's more into. And it's kind of like a weird, depressing pop rock type of style. It's very interesting.
Okay.
I might let you hear a song just to... It's not going to be a recommendation. I don't know if it's worth recommending like that. But it's definitely interesting music. She's got a very interesting voice, okay, too. She's cool. Got a little bit of...
Well,
of,
he has, of, like, such a unique voice, yeah, too. That makes sense.
Yeah. So, yeah, what'd I say? 50? Did
yeah,
I say
50? 50?
Okay, there you go. 50 Eye Patches Crew for Slick Rick, specifically The Adventures of Slick Rick.
Yeah. And I've never listened to any of his other albums. I've heard they're not as good.
Sure.
And also, I'm sure, like, the times. Yeah, I heard the third one that he wrote that came out while he was still in prison.
Okay.
Is probably, like, the second best one.
Okay.
But I haven't really... This is the one I fell in love with. Like, literally, I found this album. Where I live, there is, like, this local record shop.
Yeah.
And Tom's Music Trade, shout out if you're in, Pennsylvania area, look for Tom's Music Trade. He's fucking awesome. Tom's this dude from London. He's a little bit of a quirky guy. He's really cool though, and he has like this legit like record and memorabilia shop. And I mean, he has like crazy memorabilia, and like his store is just packed with shit. And it was like a dollar bin. I had no idea who Slick Rick was, but it was just like a dollar bin of CDs.
Oh, that's where
just,
you got this?
And I was just looking through, and I saw it, and I was like,
that's hilarious.
Sure, I'll give it. I was listening to the Fugees a bunch, and we had just started listening to their earlier album, the Blunted on Reality album.
Okay.
And we're kind of falling in love with that at that point in time. So I was like, right in this moment of like really getting into like late 80s, early 90s hip hop. And so it just looked, I didn't even know when it was from, but it just looked from that era. And I was like, Slick Rick, that's such a silly name. I'm going to buy this album.
Sure.
And fell in love with it, dude. I fucking love this album. So I also like, it's one of those, I don't really have an urge or a need to go listen to the other albums.
Right.
Because I probably wouldn't feel the same way. Just I'm at a different point in my life.
Sure.
I probably just wouldn't connect with it in the same way I did with these.
I'm that way with a lot of bands. Yeah. It's like, oh, there's a band that I really enjoyed a lot in high school called Flaw. And
that sounds familiar.
They're like a post-grunge rock music. Grunge is probably not the right term, but like metal rock music. Think Seven Dust, Korn, kind of new metal-ish type.
Okay, cool.
That era. And they came out with an album like 3 years ago, and I'm like, oh, wow, let me listen to that. Garbage.
Yeah.
It's hot garbage. And so I don't know if it actually is hot garbage, and that's separate from the good stuff that was made, or if all of it's hot garbage, and I just really enjoyed hot garbage when I was, you know, 16.
Yeah, both would seem equally likely.
Right.
Although, I don't know, man. Me and Kendra the other day, we were in the car for like an hour, and for whatever reason, we were talking about Papa Roach, and I was like, dude, let's listen to the Infest album, and it holds up. Fucking good. It's so still so that I know you said, I think that you haven't actually listened to that album.
No.
As we were listening to it, I was like, I remembered that we had talked about it. And you're like, I don't think I've ever actually like listened to that album. I was like, dude, we are listening. It's going to go on the list.
Okay. Yeah. I don't think that I've listened. Oh, you let me hear one song on it, didn't you?
Yeah. Like the hidden track.
Yeah.
Like
I was very surprised at that song because it didn't sound like
the whole album is fucking great. It's so and it's like so classic 2000 new metal fucking
okay.
It's
I would probably
since you're
it.
Such an Alien Ant Farm fan, you will like Papa Roach because I know they were buddies. We talked about that
right
on their episode.
Yeah, I probably would like it. I just the only things that I know of them are the things that are on the radio, and all of those are okay, but not great. So, all right, crew, there you have it. We've got 50 eye patches out of 69 eye patches.
65. You know what 69 would be? You know what?
Is it out of 60?
So is it still going to be 50? Because it's definitely going to be out of 69 because it's Slick Rick. It should definitely be 69 eye patches.
All right.
69 is the funniest number. So
I'll give it 51 then.
Okay, perfect.
I'll average it out. Yeah, 51 eye patches out of 69. What do you think? Have you heard this album, or are you taking your little tiptoes into the tulips of 1990s rap music, like me. Listen to the album and then find us somewhere.
And either fall in love with it because it's so good. Yeah. You're going to enjoy it.
You might.
Even if you don't like hip hop, you're going to find at least something you find funny. You're going to find something you like about this.
You might.
Or you're stupid and I hate you and stop listening immediately.
Don't stop listening. In fact, get a hold of us. Find us on Instagram. Find us on Facebook. Find us on Threads. Thor, I've been thinking about making an X account for us. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, let's do it. Who cares?
Yeah, because I got to be honest,
and start
folks.
Posting my political opinions on there.
Yeah, I feel like...
We need more dogs driving trains, just random insane shit.
I feel like the love on Threads is... I don't know. I feel like there was such a big boom for Threads, and then it just like died. It just vanished. So we might move over to X. I don't know. Should we move over to X? Find us on Threads. Let us know. So with that being said, Thor, what are we getting into next week? Are we doing the thing?
Next week is Christmas.
Next week is Christmas. Holy smokes.
Can you not feel the Christmas energy?
I gotta be honest, man. I really want to feel the Christmas energy, but Moana 2 just came out.
Yeah.
And that's all that we've been watching in this house.
Okay.
So I told Freya, my daughter, that we had to watch Christmas movies this weekend. Like, we have to. We're not going to watch Moana this weekend because all she's been wanting to do is watch Moana 2.
Sure.
That's it. And it's been eaten into holiday movie time. Yeah.
You know the trick. Show her Jingle All the Way. She'll love it.
She might. She actually might love all the violence.
Dude, yeah. It's so, like, it's such a perfect movie for a kid her age. Because it's, like, it's basically a cartoon that's not a cartoon.
Yeah.
Arnold Schwarzenegger is basically a human cartoon.
Yeah. There was really a bomb in there? This is a sick world. This is a sick world.
I have not watched that yet this year.
Oh.
We started it on Thanksgiving and then
didn't
finish it. But
yeah. So next week, Thor told me this off the air and my voice raised like a whole decibel level.
Whole octave, in fact.
Yeah, it really went up there. Thor, you've never seen Die Hard.
I've never seen Die Hard, officially, no.
It's
one of those kind of similar to... God, a lot of things where it's like I've seen bits. I know maybe I've seen it because I know I've seen scenes from it, whether it's just through passing by or from references or clips. I'm familiar with like the general concept of it. I'm going to really piss you off, though.
Oh, boy.
Right now.
OK. All right. Let's hear it.
I have seen one of the more recent Die Hard movies.
Like Live Free or Die Hard or.
Yeah, that one.
Jingle All the Die Hard Way, whatever the stupid names.
I have seen Live Free, Die Hard.
Oh my gosh. You jump in on Live Free or Die Hard?
I knew it was going to upset you. I didn't want to watch. That was one of those Kendra wanted to
is
watch.
Is that one of the ones with Justin Long? Is Justin Long in that one?
I don't even remember.
Oh my
gosh. I saw it.
They came out with, it was, is that the PG-13 Die Hard movie? I'm looking up the rating of that. I'm looking it up right now. Live Free or Die Hard IMDb. I'm looking it up. What's the rating on if it's the it's the PG-13.
I didn't see it in the theaters.
No.
It was a red box. It was like a random red box.
It's a random
when
red box.
Boxes were still a thing.
When they were still a thing. I'm pretty sure that this is the PG-13 rated Die Hard. And where is the rating on this IMDb? It's not giving me.
Is he ramped a motorcycle off like a bus or some shit.
Yeah, of course he. Can't believe it. Live Free or Die Hard.
Why is this so hard to find?
I don't know. 2 hours, 8 minutes. It's giving me all the info. It was made in 2007. Why is the rating not anywhere? You know what? It's the PG-13 one. It's got to be. It's got to be because it was 2007. And I'm pretty sure that that's the one that was like the revamp of when, the Die Hard series.
When they made it better?
No.
I'm kidding. Oh, I'm kidding. Gosh, I'm kidding. I assume nothing that's remade is ever better.
Weirdly enough, it's got an 82% on Rotten Tomatoes. How? It's got a 7.1 score. How? It's not awful, but it's not like 82% on Rotten Tomatoes. It is the one with Justin Long. Oh my.
That's why it's got 82%. He's so likable.
You're killing me.
And you remember when we watched him in Tusk and he had tusks put in his face?
I remember that. Okay, well, we're watching that first Die Hard. That's what we're going to watch.
The original Die Hard. Because there is much debate about it being a Christmas movie or not being a Christmas movie. And I always just side on the side of, like, it's not a Christmas movie because it pisses off people.
Sure.
It's more likely to irritate people. Mm-hmm. And that's generally just, like, that's generally the point I'm going to take, is like what's going to irritate the most people.
Of course. So, totally fair.
But yeah, no, truly, I know the basic premise of it. I know I've seen scenes of it. I may have seen this movie.
Yeah.
But aside from like the well-known lines that everybody quotes, there's nothing in my brain. It's like fully blank.
Like yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker?
Sure. Yeah. So he doesn't even actually say that, right?
He 100% says that. Yeah.
Isn't there one of them that's like always misquoted?
Maybe. I don't know. I know in the PG-13 version of Die Hard, well, in Die Hard with a Vengeance, A Good Day to Die Hard is the other one. And yeah, so that one's even worse. But in the PG-13 one, he says it, but he shoots somebody when he says fucker. So the noise of the gunshot, mother bam. And yeah. And so that's how they get around keeping the line in the movie, but keeping it PG-13.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. All right. So that'll be our Christmas movie because there's much debate. So I will be the final decider as to whether or not Die Hard is a Christmas movie. And you all must live with my decision and accept it as truth.
Whatever Thor says is the finality. Everybody has had a vote except for Thor.
Yeah, because I am coming in truly unbiased. I don't give a shit if it's a Christmas movie or not.
Yeah, he's the last person on the earth who has not seen Die Hard, except for maybe my wife and maybe your wife.
Yeah.
But, okay.
But she has seen Live Free or Die Hard. That much I know for sure.
Yep, that's great. All right, next week, crew, a very, maybe, special Merry Christmas episode. We're going to cover Die Hard. Find us next week. As always, folks.
Nope.
Until next time, folks.
As always.
You get wrecked out there.
Stay wrecked.
I can't believe... You know, I name all of my discard decks in Marvel Snap after Die Hard. I have A Good Day to Discard, Discard 2, Discard Harder, Discard with a Vengeance... Play Marvel Snap, folks.